welcome to Spooky Empire Film Festival Series After Dark. Because Spooky Empire was over, I think again, because we have over 8 interviews that were recorded live at Spooky Empire that we'll be releasing over the next 3 weeks, so keep it locked here.
Presentation of horror, thriller, and suspense, and is intended for a mature audience. Join us at your own risk.
I'm Al Omega here with the Grim and Bloody podcast, sans my other three excellent co-hosts. But instead of them, I do have the director Chad Hendricks here and SFX artist Cynthia Roy. And, oh, we've been having a lovely chat here as we get warmed up for this.
It's been good.
All the
so
hair
far.
Hang out, yeah. It should be fun. So yes, I got started off when I worked in film doing props and sort of special effects, because they are sort of hand in hand.
Yeah, most definitely. I do both.
Yes. What was some of the first stuff you got started doing?
Oh, geez. I don't know. I can't even remember that far back.
Blondes, redheads, brunettes. You're doing a lot of them, right?
Early just
in
the doing game. Them. Just doing them.
Doing
left
it all.
And right. Simple makeups, you know, gunshot wound here and there for some haunted houses or commercials. I never worked on a haunted house. It was commercials for haunted houses.
Commercials, cool.
Yes, so, you know, gunshot wound, bloody throat, you know, start out doing that stuff. Years later, I started learning from a gentleman named Rick Gonzalez that he worked on the original Day of the Dead film with George Romero.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he's been in the business forever, so I learned from him. And hopefully he's going to be here today, but he wasn't feeling well, so he won't. He actually learned from Tom Savini years ago, and
yes,
he wanted to come here to see Tom, but his health isn't great today. So.
Oh, well, I sympathize with him. I'm feeling it. Now, I see you have we have the tattooed people here, and I see you have. She almost looked like a Disney princess there, right here.
It's a comic book character that I drew years ago.
Okay.
And a bunch
you've
of
got,
stuff.
Yes, you've got a whole lot of very interesting things going on there.
I'm very covered. Not much of me that's not tattooed.
I'm working with a lighting man.
She's
right
a
now.
Tattoo artist.
Yes, I'm a
right
tattoo
too,
artist.
So.
Yes,
so.
I always said never date a lady tattoo artist, because you don't want to date someone who's willing to sit there and stab something 1,000 times.
Yeah, and get paid for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So don't
so
want to piss them off.
I've been doing that for 30 years now.
Yes.
30 years I've been tattooing and piercing.
So you started when you were 3.
Yes. Yeah, well, thank you for the compliment. But no, after the new year, it'll be 30 years.
Wow, 30 years.
30 years.
Isn't that kind of frightening? You look back and go, gee, I've been doing this schmuck stuff here.
I didn't think I'd be alive for 30 years, let alone have a career.
There's a lot of that going on, too. You know, that's what I think about the young millennials and all that, you know. A lot of us, we came out here and said, yeah, I'm not going to make it to 30, so mm-hmm. I better get stuff done. And now these guys are like, I don't want to do anything until I'm 30.
I purposely didn't pay taxes because, you know, I was a touring musician, and when I wasn't touring, I was tattooing, and I'm like,
can you name
drop? I'm going to be dead way before, you know,
the
IRS is going to think about that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I hit 45, and I'm like, well, I don't tour anymore.
Hmm.
I think I better get caught up on some taxes, man. What the heck is going on here? So yeah, I'm a actual paying member of society now for the first
God.
Time. And
you poor person, you.
Whew, yeah.
Sam,
I mean that literally.
I need a name drop, Sam.
What?
Tell him who you toured with. Say the M word.
Oh.
Drop it.
The Marilyn Manson guys.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say Madonna for me.
No. I was one of her dance people.
So on the Like a Virgin tour, I lost my cherry, and I've just been doing tattoos
now
ever
I'm not
since.
Like a virgin anymore. So, yeah, touring musician, tattoo artist, and I actually got sober 10 years ago and stopped touring. Thank you. And put that extra energy of I'd already been doing some horror films, but now instead of just doing music, I put all that energy into horror films. So it's like, you know, you can't get fucked up on a movie set. You'll be, you know, fired immediately. And
yeah.
It's almost required to get fucked up on a tour bus.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It was a good trade. I'm happy with
yes,
that.
Yes, I can totally see that trade. I'll tell you a little story. I had a friend of mine that was a musician way back when, and they're on tour, and they're all asleep on the bus,
uh-huh.
as it is, and they're in the back east here, and they wake up, and they're out in the middle of nowhere, and there's a field next to them, and they're touring along, and they start looking, and they realize that field is pot. That's an entire
end of tour.
Field of pot. And they pulled over, they all went running out with their pillowcases, and they're grabbing all the pot they can stick in it, and you know, they're drying out in the car, and they're so happy. And then, of course, no one had told them that it was industrial hemp, which you should not smoke.
Right, okay.
And they found out what happens when you do smoke industrial hemp. And you're very sorry. Very, very sorry.
Shit, a rope? What?
Yes.
Well, besides not having any THC in it, it has a lot of chemicals poured on it to keep the bugs off.
Hmm.
So,
well, you won't even have any bugs in you for a while.
Yeah. So they were sick as dogs after that. So that's an intervention right there. Yes, you can have all the pot you can smoke out of the field.
Yes, all the pot you can fit in your pillowcase.
And now you won't want to smoke ever again.
Covered in black flag, right?
Yeah. Pretty much. Well, my assistant did go to Southeast Asia for his summer tour when he was a kid, so as he likes to say, for the Southeast Asia War Games. And so, yes, he got to enjoy Agent Orange and all the other fun stuff. So, yes.
But the weed was great.
Yes, actually, he often talks about that. That you would go in and there'd be that guy with, like, the big hamper, like, you know, $5 here, double handful for you. There you go.
Nice.
And you'll get some. And how the MPs would keep a little heroin to lace the joint with.
Right.
Keep that in the coffee can so no one would look for it there.
That's their version of it. Yeah. This one's mine.
Yeah. And then, of course, as I said, we have Chad here, and you've directed. What have you directed that's here today that people can see? Because I know we're going to talk about this.
Right. I've made 13 feature films in 23 years, all in Jacksonville, Florida. I have 6 films on Tubi TV.
Oh, cool.
TubiTV.com. So
we love
if you
Tubi.
Just type in Chad Hendricks, it'll pull up all of them. Everything from Block Burner to Boss Moves, Insane in the Brain, which is Afro Zomedy in the 70s. You know, it's zombies are coming back from the dead trying to get some brain, some head, some brain. So they go to hoe houses and drive-ins. And
no one's using them
there.
The
only way to kill a zombie, an Afro zombie, is with rubber bullets because the brothers are scared of rubbers.
There we go.
So that's really, you know, that's just some of the kookiness and stuff.
Horror films, the last bastion of political correctness. Yes. That's it.
You should see the little tiny rubbers we roll on the bullets and all in the movie. It's the biggest. It's like, I'm just a big fan of Dolomite. I grew up on
Rudy
Ray Moore and Pryor and Eddie Murphy and Dice Clay and Cheech and Chong and the Three Stooges and the Little Rascals and Norman Lear. And so, life isn't meant to be taken serious, you know what I mean? So you might as well throw enough dick jokes into a horror film and then poof, you have Bloody Frickin' Mary.
Hey, Robin Williams always said, when in doubt, go with the dick joke.
There you go. I've heard him say that.
He hit it on the head.
Yeah.
Take it from Mork. Mork was spot on.
Mork was fun. You know, you go over to Napa State and here in California where I'm at, and you go there and you can ask for the Robin Williams suite.
Nice.
I don't even want to.
I know.
Is
it a suicide suite?
No,
what are we talking about? Holy shit.
No, actually, Jonathan Winters was doing a bit. Of course, Jonathan was on Mork and Mindy, and most of the stuff you saw them do was just improv.
Damn.
They just made it up. Jonathan Winters used to have a variety show, I think it was, where he would come up as an old lady up into the attic and start talking about the different objects that were there and things that had happened in improv, and because they never knew what was going to come out of his mouth. And he was doing something somewhere, I think it was up on a ship, and he's up in the rigging, and he decided he didn't want to come down. He was going to be a pirate or a swing or whatever the heck it was, and he went to Napa State for a little while. And then, of course, at one point, Robin Williams decided to go visit and stay there. And so there's the Napa used to have the Robin Williams suite for people.
So nice.
Need a little help. Mm. And for those people that need that help, I'm glad that the help is there for them. But, you know, you have to be a little bit crazy, I think, to really be funny.
Yeah.
To poke holes in the reality of life and this mortal coil that we shuffle around on, because otherwise we weren't going to have any fun.
Right.
And let's be honest, we're here for a horror convention of sorts, a horror fest.
Yes.
But I've told a few people today, I mean, I'm more of like a rom-com, dirty, just vulgar comedy. I grew up on Porky's, man. That was my shit. I mean, if I couldn't get some...
Have you seen this prick?
Some TNA with the DNA, then what's the point, you know? I mean, if I can't watch Last American Virgin or Losing It or just things that...
remember some of the 70s movies were awesome.
I love that shit, man. So what's, you know, why are we all afraid of being, what is canceled and the petty shit? Like, we, you know, it's...
Don't like it, don't watch it.
What's right, yeah, totally. Turn the fucking channel, right?
We have 500 channels and you have to watch the one that doesn't, you don't like.
And yeah, when did your taste become the tastemaker for everybody in the room? It's silly, man. I mean, I grew up on, you know, Sanford and Son and Good Times. The Jeffersons, and all of that was Norman Lear. We're talking Maude and All in the Family. And so
father was Archie Bunker.
Right? I've got an 8-track of Cheech and Chong. If I didn't have that shit memorized.
I can beat you. I have an 8-track, still in the original rap, of course. David Soul sings the blues. Starsky and Hutch.
Come on.
Yes.
Don't give up on us, baby.
I was in the junkyard looking for parts. And I found this in a car somewhere.
That is awesome.
I said, I have to have this.
Yeah.
I have Steve Martin's comedy gigs with the bunny rabbit on vinyl.
I finally saw The Jerk on Netflix the other day.
I was born poor white trash.
Exactly. I was born a black man.
Poor black man. That's it, yeah. Poor black man. Yes.
I love it, man.
That's great stuff.
I
can't tell those jokes these days.
Right. I caught all of Eddie Murphy on SNL and Trading Places and 48 Hours and the 80s when you finally could see a black person on cable. You could finally see all the mics, Michael Jackson and Tyson and Jordan and all these guys that would just change the landscape. Like, I'm blown away that there are people born into this world a world where hip-hop already exists. Man, I saw the shit coming from a mile away.
Back when it was good.
Back when we're roller skating to it and all they're doing is sampling Chic. It's like, it's like, is that Sugar Hill Gang? No, that's fucking Good Times. That's Chic, man. What? So, I mean, back when we thought Deborah Harry and Blondie were rappers, you know, like the crazy shit when we used to roller skate. So,
she was the first white rapper.
Right. So that's why, you know, I hope there's an audience for Bloody Frickin' Mary, because it's really an old guy telling dick jokes with references and shit to when we were kids, you know what I mean? So it's like, I hope you get the 80s references in the middle of all of it. I'm just crazy enough to put my movie I did in 2002, Cracker Jacked, in the movie. They're watching the damn movie within the movie kind of thing, because I couldn't get Cracker Jacked on Tubi because they weren't accepting SD films, and like, I didn't know how to record audio and shit back in 2002. It's coming off the camera, you know? So it's just, we had a fucking blast, man. It was like, how do we kill the next person? You know, like, I've
he
got
called
a two,
me one night. How
I've
do
got
we
a,
kill this person
I've got
tomorrow?
A two-liner in the script that just says so-and-so does this and then Bloody Mary does this. Okay, well, that leaves a whole room, you know, I got a chick who can kill anybody any which way and shit with latex and with, you know, Karo syrup and some red and blue food color.
Well, did you know about this?
You know,
so I know, it's crazy.
I'm like, let's
stop using that stuff a long time ago.
Right? See, that's how much I know about fucking special effects.
I was, you know, I'm working on this film and they're doing this bit where someone bad is just chewing on human skin and she wants to use cleaned chicken skin. I'm going, just get some latex scrapple. Come on.
Right, yeah.
You don't have to.
I can
mean,
make that for
I,
you.
I appreciate the want to be accurate,
right.
But come on, just a little latex scrapple will work.
Yep.
It's better than United of the Living Dead where they were eating real ham and you know, so forth. Peanut butter and chocolate syrup back in those days.
Yeah, chocolate syrup on a black and white film.
Yeah.
It was great for blood because it was thick.
And peanut butter, you could make that into flesh so you could bite into it.
Oh, wow.
It was great.
The
black
old,
and white film.
All the stuff you could
We've
do.
Got intestines in this movie. We've got some of the goriest, cool shit. So I hope people dig it. It's pretty straightforward what Bloody Mary is. When, you know, most people who've been born on this planet know. You say that chick's name three times in the mirror, you are screwed, you know. So we just did our own little spin on it and put some good-looking chicks in some schoolgirl outfits.
And, well, that works for me.
Right? A little DNA, a little TNA, and it'll get you to the finish line, you know. So,
now, I'll tell you this for your next movie, hopefully. You know, there's actually a Japanese version of the Bloody Mary myth. And in this one, students at school if they use the toilet stall, Bloody Mary will come in the stall with them.
That's a great spin.
And the only way to stop it is they have to show an A grade on a recent test.
Oh,
that's the Japanese for you.
That's great. So,
educating you while your hands coming up through the toilet.
Yeah, you know you have to have you always have to have a good grade with you at all times, so that you can get. I'd love to see what you do with that, because the Japanese do some really gruesome stuff. Have you seen the one where the entire bus gets cut in half?
I have not.
There's a whole bus of school kids going down, and this girl drops her pencil, so she bends over, and there's like a wire across the road, cuts off the top half, and she stands up, and the bus is missing, and everyone's spouting blood all around.
Holy shit. I love it.
Yes.
Well, the chick who plays Bloody Mary, Holly Everhughes, she's already telling me that there should be a sequel.
I'm like, well, damn,
you know how many different ways a mirror can be used in life? Not a lot, and we already used the shit out of all of them.
Well, here, let me help you out here. I'll give you an idea.
Okay.
A little visual here for the people that aren't here, though. But
all right.
How to use a mirror for a sequel. If you face mirrors in towards each other, you get that hall effect. Mm-hmm. All the different multiverse Bloody Mary.
As you turn it, it
and
changes.
As you turn it, they all start flooding out of the mirrors. You could have 100 Bloody Marys.
I love it.
There we go.
As long as they're all her, because Holly's really like, look, motherfucker, y'all are gonna put me in the sequel, and this is how we're gonna do it. And I'm like, all right, let me get the pen and pad over here. Let's see if we can at least make our money back on the first one before we just go nuts and start doing
a sequel. You have them killing a whole big prom of kids, and each one's a different way. And I have ideas in my mind already that I cannot say, even in this room, but which we will talk about after they turn the mic off. But
can't give away too much.
I'll tell you, because I'm hoping to see. Right? I would love to see that. I thought of that when that thing she did there with her legs. I told them they should do that. It'll be the first time a girl does something I tell her to do with her legs. So,
who are you telling? It's been a while.
Yeah. So don't tell my wife I said that. So we have Bloody Mary, Bloody frickin' Mary. And as I was telling you, I do love that you did not pick the standardized cookie cutter girls.
Perfect
for
humans.
The part. Yes.
Yeah.
Not even close.
I mean, they're all beautiful.
They're all very beautiful.
We made sure they were very beautiful.
Good looking girls. And I've been doing this filmmaking thing wrong.
Mm. Really?
Well, I've been.
Does anyone get it right?
Well, see, a lot of people do out in LA, because see, I've never used a casting couch. So I feel like I've been losing out on all the perks by being an upright, straight, standing upright citizen of this world when you got four perfectly hot chicks in a movie.
Yeah.
So I'm just taking a loss everywhere. I'm paying actors. I'm not getting laid. But we're going to cross fingers and toes. People, connect with the movie and talk shit about it, and we might pull a sequel.
The movie that you want them to talk shit about.
Yes, right. At least they're talking about it.
Oh, my gosh. And...
I can't lie, Al. My second movie, Cracker Jack, which is in Bloody Mary, right?
Okay.
I've Googled it before. It's been called the worst shit of all time. It's been called the best shit of all time, right? It's been called racist by white people, black people. I'm like, I don't know how we pull off all that shit. I don't even know
somehow
how we got all the draw fours in the Uno deck. How the hell we got like the supremacists going, this is racist against white people.
When the
like,
KKK they don't even know shows the white up guy and wrote says you shouldn't right? do this, you've really struck a chord.
Yeah, you finally found something that people can get behind with a six pack.
Where everyone hates. That's weekend. Good.
Yeah, everybody's down for a good time. So it's blown my mind. I'm like, if you only knew the guy who wrote it was a white guy, how am I offending
most
white
of
folks?
His films are very urban, and I
urban.
That's great.
Yes,
that's
urban.
A great word.
It's the flavor we'll use.
Yes, and lots of hip hop action, and I was like, cool, let's do this film.
So there's a lot of jiggling involved.
Yes. And he was planning.
There is no twerking in this movie. I hate to like be a buzzkill.
We had to cut those scenes.
Did he get too excited?
I just love the special effects chick going, the hip hop thingamabob thingy. Like,
hip hop thingamabob.
You just said it's that. There's some hip hop thingy in the movie.
You wanted to go with the urban theme. I love that.
But the beauty of it is if we're breaking down nationalities, I mean, there's such a beautiful mix of people in this movie.
Totally.
It's like the new world order of hotness.
There's like two white people in this film, I think. Yeah.
Well, I kind of wonder about the young lady here on the end with the makeup.
She's mixed. She's mixed. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, a girl with too much lipstick is always the first one I go for.
Yeah, she's just ridiculously attractive, and she's a singer too. Her and Whitney, the two on the left, are just incredible voices. And then Anaya, who plays Mitzi and all the lead, she even raps too. So she's just, I was really happy to get her in the movie because she's just so good, and I felt like she could carry a film, and it's the second one I've done with her. And then Pal, who's Latina and all, she's she, besides being a good looking person, like, she was just crazy enough to give us an accent. Like, she gave the Latina accent and all in the movie and all, and pulls it off, first time actress too. And so I don't know, it's a hodgepodge, man. I'd love to say that it's just a stone cold horror flick, but it's a horror comedy, and you just got four really talented actresses carrying the shit out of it, and we just had a good time.
We did. We did.
It was just a blast.
Now, they are in school uniforms. Is this a Catholic school?
Sin?
Okay, yes, Sin, tell us about school. School us.
Well, it's got that hip-hop thingy, and
they are smoking the reefer.
And he's sharing, but that's good. So.
Right. No, I have a cousin that I made my very first film with, and all Josh Skursky, and he had a movie after we did our first one together called Satanic Suicide Slumber Party.
Okay.
And it was a bunch of hot chicks in Catholic schoolgirl outfits, right? And I just thought the premise was too cool, you know? Like, I just thought every guy has always said, man, ain't nothing like that Catholic schoolgirl outfit and all the, you know, when it comes to a chick with knee highs and a little tie, and it's always been just a sexy look. And so I bought these outfits on Amazon, and I kind of insinuate that they're in school. There's scenes where they're in front of a high school. I'm just kind of insinuating shit. So everybody takes it on whatever their fantasy is and all, and rides with it.
The beauty of it
is that those were the only outfits that their characters even had to wear through the whole film.
Ah.
So it does help with continuity when you're shooting and editing and things like that and stuff. And also, even with the fellas, to give them some kind of unity of like Letterman jacket kind of vibe, and all these four fellas who could be high school, college, whatever kind of thing, that's that same one outfit type of thing. And so
they got the jacket on.
They got the jackets.
And you know, as well as we do, Hollywood has always said, what's the cheapest way to make a movie in Hollywood? Oh, it's the Friday the 13th. You get a bunch of good looking 20 somethings, put them in one location, kill them off one by one, you got yourself a movie. It's only one location. You don't have to, you know, stress out as a producer trying to finding different setups and things in town and all. You can film at one house or one campsite or whatever the movie's doing, and it's going to save you on overhead. You can pay your actors better, feed them better. So it was really that kind of premise in my head. It's like, because I have five other scripts on ice, but this one just came spilling out last August, and then by January we were filming the movie. So
how long did it take to film this one?
You know, we did 10 days of shooting.
10 days?
10 days. The script was only 46 pages, which is insane, because most people go, if it's a minute a page, it's a minute on stage. So we would have only had a damn 46-minute movie if it hadn't been for adding a few you know, chase scenes and some things to stretch it out. You know, it's a horror film, so you get to stretch some things.
Hold on. Chase scene.
Oh, jeez.
I didn't hear anything about vehicles involved in this.
I'm just
there is
saying.
A Hummer, but not in the
There's
chase
There's a
scene.
Hummer? Just not in the chase
What's their name?
I thought we weren't going to talk about that. No, there was there's a Humvee
yes.
in it.
There's
a Humvee. Yeah. But not in the chase
vehicle,
scene.
A vehicle.
Yes. Well, she's full size, but I wouldn't have said that.
I'm just telling you, there's some dick jokes in the movie.
There is.
I would never have guessed with you that there are dick jokes in your movie.
I blame the special effects chick. She brought all that to it. It was a wholesome Disney film.
It's all her fault.
And then said, we're just going to start killing people in creative ways.
I get to kill teenagers that are doing drugs and having sex? Okay.
Sign me up.
Don't even introduce me to any I don't have to kill. I'm not interested.
Yeah, get those assholes out of here. They're bland.
I tell you, I'm getting older. I'm watching the movies, and I'm rooting for the monster more and more these days. You know, get off my lawn, kids!
Right.
Boot.
Creature from Black Lagoon. Handle that shit. He's on my lawn.
Yeah. So.
And mow my shit while you're at it, Frankenberry.
Oh, my gosh. So there's a chase sequence. You want to get into a little bit more actual specifics on what this plot is. We do know that what the Bloody Mary is. These are some girls got together. Is there a sleepover party, perhaps?
You hit it on the head. I definitely am not reinventing the wheel with four chicks throwing a slumber party. The parents are gone for the weekend. They get bored playing Uno and Pokino and shit. And
Tom Cruise doesn't show up, does he?
Tom Cruise is not on the couch this time, jumping up and down.
For the weekend.
Okay. No,
but... So they end up going in the bathroom and conjuring up the demon. And of course, the fellas show up unannounced and everything. And then all hell breaks loose.
But it is very modern because this girl hears about this Bloody Mary thing in the mirror, say it three times in a podcast, right?
TikTok, yeah.
On TikTok.
Yeah. TikTok.
And
TikTok
these
challenge.
TikTok things are talking about it. It becomes a TikTok challenge. And she's like, ooh, let's do this at the party tonight. So it's definitely the modern version of Bloody Mary. It's TikTok's involved.
Yeah, texting bubbles pop up and mm-hmm. stuff. And I tried to keep it, you know, somewhat younger for the jits and everything. So if us old timers just happen to get the jokes and and they get the blood spill, then it's a win-win. Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit of technical. For you doing the special effects here, what was something hard that you had to deal with on this one?
I don't know.
I know.
Uh-oh.
Getting Holly's Bloody Mary makeup perfect each day, that was tricky. Because, you know, you take the prosthetic off and it's pretty much useless, and then we're back to filming the next day. Let's recreate the prosthetic. Let's repaint it. I got pictures from the day before for continuity to make sure it's the makeup is exactly perfect and getting it back on her. And,
damn.
You know, that's a challenge.
Same dress, everything,
yeah.
Right? Gloves.
And we ended up, because an actress couldn't make it, we ended up on the first day that I was on set, instead of filming one particular couple makeup scenes, we said, oh, we're going to film the ending fight
the
scene
ending,
today. And I was like, oh shit, I am not prepared for that makeup setup. And we made it happen, and then the fight scene happens, and then she tore the dress during the fight scene. So now we got to go back and film all the stuff prior. So I didn't have a second dress. I figured we would ruin it as we go. I had different prosthetics all the same. That was fine, but I had to refix the dress. And so, yeah, there's always something that's going to get fucked up.
I would say the hardest thing she did was...
put up with you?
No, you had to saw the back of a refrigerator out so we could film from the back end.
Oh.
There's a scene that takes place in the fridge.
Cut
so,
her finger
so you
and
look
everything.
In the fridge. Yeah, it healed up really well, though.
That's good.
You know, you're looking in the fridge, up in the fridge, and the light comes on and everything is in there. And then you see the view from the inside of the fridge. And then back to this side. So it's like, he brought me a fridge, and I cut the back off it with my skill saw in my driveway. And then...
Did anyone have anything to say about, you know, the gases or anything like that.
No, I cleaned that shit up.
Okay.
It didn't stink. So, and then, you know, we rigged it so we could put the back back on it.
Oh.
And we used white duct tape to seal any seams.
Yeah.
That, so, and then anything you could still see on camera, we put a soda in front of that.
Yeah, crack. Yeah.
So we can still, we grab a lamp, a light off lamp, and like taped it inside the fridge, and you turn it on when they open the fridge, so it functions like a
little
real fridge.
Baby, little bulb.
Yeah.
You know, little
and so side. You could still film, and then okay, we're filming the other side, so we have to pull the back off it and bring the camera around, and so it functioned both ways, front and back.
And mind you, a lot of times we're a two person crew,
yeah,
maybe
two,
three.
Yeah.
And so she would do smoke machine. She would do all the boom. So many different.
My arthritis doesn't let me boom anymore.
Oh, right. That's why we put on a C-stand, because my arthritis is like, don't even think about it.
Yeah.
Jelly arm, and I'm going, oh shit.
Yeah.
I can't direct and hold a stick.
So we put it on a C-stand, and I just make sure it's pointed in the right spot.
Right.
Yeah.
That's when you can find out, once again, how expensive all the equipment is.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
So, movie I'm working on, the Soundman, we'll put a boom on a C-stand like that, and it's got a transmitter on it, which I thought was cool. And so it transmits to wherever he's recording at, and I'm like, you know, what's the transmitter cost? I forget what, but some ungodly amount of money for this thing. But, of course, this is all of your sound coming through a high-end mic, and you can't go with a cheap transmitter because you know it's going to screw stuff up. So,
you know what shrinks down your shooting days to only 10 days, though?
What?
Two camera setup, two microphone setup.
Mm-hmm.
And so by day two or three, I'd finally bought a second camera from my buddy that matched my camera.
Mm-hmm.
And then my sister gave me some money and all to go ahead and buy a second mic and a second Zoom recorder. And so it was, it did shorten up our heavy dialogue scenes, we knocked out a 9-page day of filming and all, just because we had a two camera setup and so we could get two girls at the same time doing dialogue, and then we flip the cameras, get the other two girls, so all four of them are playing Uno, and we knocked that shit out in a few hours, you know. So
the thing about that is making sure that neither of the cameras or the booms are in the shot of the other camera. Not to mention, we have reflection mirrors in every Bloody Mary scene.
Yes,
so the mirrors and two mics and two cameras and
brutal,
shadows from all that.
The first film I worked on, we only had one camera. And so it was wide shot, then the close-up shot, then the reverse angle wide shot, then the reverse angle close-up, and then on the next character, there's four shots for each person. And that will suck up your time.
It will. Any cutaways, you know, simple hand with a cigarette, the cat in the windowsill, all those random things in case you're not in focus. And I'm 52 and my eyes ain't shit no more. So to have someone in focus or has an actor lean or fade back on you and you're just going, can't even use that take. This is obscene. I got to cut to the other chick just doing the head nod and shit like that, because until this person gets back in focus, I can't show that we're some half-ass filmmakers with some blurry-ass dialogue, you know? So
one of the things I've noticed being a horror host is I show old movies, and because resolution is poor on old TVs and so forth, there's a lot more close-ups involved, because you had to get close so you could see who that person was that was talking.
Mm-hmm.
And those are actually easier for me to clean up than the ones where they got a little bit better, so a lot of mid-range, that gets harder to fix.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, those close-ups help out a lot.
You hit it on the head. I live in close-up world.
Yeah.
Because what that does, it allows me to bring the microphone closer, mm-hmm. and I get more of a rich sound in the dialogue. And plus, like you said, being in focus is a beautiful thing. Plus, I don't know dick about lighting. You know, I'm just trying to make somebody look pretty. And so the further they go out, the all of a sudden you're getting some grain. All of a sudden the graininess of your shit. Now the beauty of a wide is you can put lob mics on people and nobody can see the lob mics. So you can be like, fuck it, go 20 feet and have a conversation. Cool, the audio's still clean, but I'm still going to jump in eventually to the close-ups of each other, because I find it more interesting when I look at somebody that whether I believe their ass or not. I don't need to see the side of your ear and shit. That's just, we're losing dialogue and any feeling or any emotion and shit in the scene because somebody's shooting the side of two people talking. Fuck that. Get in there and get a close-up of each other. And if you're a first-time or second-time filmmaker, if you did anything like me, you're always too scared to, you know, get in there and inconvenience somebody and be like, right, let me get an over the shoulder. And man, fuck that. Get your shot. They're here. The actors are here to give you what you want. And if they're really good, they might call you on your shit and tell you what they think is good. And you go, that's cool. We'll give you a take. But I really need, you know, I've got my storyboard, so I really have a good idea of what I want here.
Storyboarding, so very important.
Oh, yes. Ooh, oh, my goodness. Right.
And now you can do it on your computer. Mm-hmm. They got little stick figures that run around because stick figures are actually really pushing my artistic ability to right. storyboard. People look at my stick figures and don't understand what's going on.
Yeah. So,
but that helps you understand what's going on day to day. Yeah. So,
it's that old Spielberg thing where he's like, even if you don't storyboard, you just write down your shots. He's like, even if you don't use that shit when you get to the set, it's something to fall back on.
You fix it in your mind. It's like why Terminator went so well is because the gentleman who wrote that was broke. So he would do, I don't know if you've ever seen them, but it's beautiful artwork that he did of every single scene for the storyboard.
Oh, okay.
Because he had the time to do it. So
I love it, man. I used to always avoid storyboards like it was the plague, but the last 3-4 movies I've done my own storyboards, and it will save your ass. Mm-hmm. It will definitely, when your brain is on duh, when you're like 12 hours in and you forgot to eat or something or grab a Snickers or a Red Bull, you need to be able to look at a storyboard, even if you know it's just a close-up of a head. You know you've got to get that shot because the next shot and the next shot is...
50 shots later, you're going, do I need a shot of the left side of your face?
It feels redundant, but if I hadn't got this shot of the Kool-Aid pitcher on this shot and then cut back to the smoke machine on the very next, it would have looked dumb as shit. But to get those cutaways, for some reason, the brain just goes with you because audio makes you believe everything.
Mm-hmm.
If you have an airplane and the sound effect right now on this, people will be like, fuck, were they doing a podcast at an airport?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the beauty of audio and stuff. And so, and then the music. Shit, I use artlist.com, pay $200 a year, and it gives you every type of music you can handle to put in your projects. If you want scary music, if you want a score, you want hip-hop, you want country, man, it'll really make your shit sound good. It'll turn it into a horror film. Mm-hmm. When she read the script, it was just a damn comedy. Then she saw the film. She's like, this motherfucker made a horror film with some comedy in it. Like, it's the same damn thing. That's what's so cool about music, too. It'll set the tone for you. So,
I mean, we talk about this as in most industry, most jobs you'll have. You'll start with some small portion of your job and learn more about your job as you go. In film, you wind up, you're the writer, producer, director, cameraman, maybe leading man as well. You have to do all of it, and then you get eventually along, hopefully fairly soon, to the point where you can afford that $200 subscription to the sound bank or to upgrade to a used, decent camera rather than... When I started my show, I was using a $20 Handycam I got at McFurgle's.
Right.
It shows you how old I am. That's back when before it was Big Lots.
Yes.
Yes. But it was $20 and it worked, and that's all I cared about. And you wind up learning so much. One of the things I always found frustrating, so I would talk to a lighting person and go, okay, I need a lighting for this sort of thing. Well, I use this system. You know anything about the other systems? No. Okay.
Oh, okay,
so you're using a $10,000 system. I don't think I can afford that. So then I found out about how to do this, and then of course you have your limitations. Mm-hmm. I worked on a set that had 20 amp service. That was it.
Oh, great.
20 amps. You are suffering at 20 amps to run your lights on that sucker.
When we did Insane in the Brain, which is a 70s Afro-Zomedy, we were in a old-ass turn-of-the-century house, right? and not realizing they only took two prong.
Yeah.
Like you, if you didn't have the two prong adapter to go with your extension cord, which was a three prong,
yeah,
you wouldn't have any lights. You're screwed. Yep. You got to go, you got to burn another day going to Home Depot, you know, for a 60 cent attachment and shit. So
I keep several of those in my box, yes, for no apparent reason.
Those are just things that you can't learn in film school. You've got to go fuck up on your first movie,
yes,
to that is your film school. Like if I wouldn't even think about cutting off the refrigerator when I'm shooting a bedroom scene, but that first movie was a train wreck of audio of that is all we heard from those scenes.
Well, you haven't lived until that you're filming fans in an old person's home and they get hungry and they decide to click on their Amana radar range.
Ooh.
That pulls 20 amps and all the lights dim. And it sounds like there's a hovercraft in the room with you. Because I had one of those growing up.
Okay.
We had the first microwave, the Amana radar range, and they thought you would cook an entire turkey in that.
Yeah.
They were huge. They're like two cubic feet, maybe more, I don't know. They were monsters, and you could beat someone to death with them.
They had a dial like the TV.
Yeah, just two. Yeah, they looked like the TV. They just had two dials. And it took us forever to figure out that one dial was high power and one was low power. Because we didn't know that. We just went, the high power just, you know, went up to 5 minutes. So we just, I only want to heat this up. So yeah, I'll turn it to a minute and a half and see what happens.
We used those for stir and frost. That was the cake in the late 70s. You could bake a cake in your microwave in like minutes and shit. Stir and frost.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The old stuff there. We are so old.
The
70s.
Hey, dude,
I grew up in the mid-70s.
See, I remember Shake a Pudding.
Well, see, I was born in 70, and I grew up on Three's Company and all.
Yeah,
you know,
I grew up with Three's Company. There's only one of them left now.
Right, yeah. No, I was born the year Hendrix died, Joplin died, and 2 months after I was born, Jim Morrison died. So I was
holy shit,
really? The trilogy, I'm like... But, and here I am, a Hendrix. My dad's name is Jimi Hendrix, just spelled different. So,
you know, the interesting thing is you never find out about people until they run for office or they die. And my neighbor across the street, lovely Jewish woman, always invites us over to for Seder and so forth. We never went, but she's always a smile, lovely woman to have on the street. She passed away a little while ago. Mm. And so we went to the funeral. And, you know, speaking of Janis Joplin, well, guess who she went to school with?
Get out.
Not just go to school with. She helped her get her first abortion.
Okay.
Came out here and I think helped found the O'Farrell Street Theater.
Okay.
In San Francisco, and then went on to the Supreme Court fighting an obscenity charge for it. Ooh. And won.
Mm-hmm.
And all I know is she's this happy little Jewish lady that sits on the corner and smiles at people.
That's
and
great.
I wish I knew this stuff before. I'd have had her on the show talking to her.
Yeah.
Because this is living history.
Yeah, totally.
You know, you just don't know what people did, you know. That's the meme, you know. You can think you're tough now, but you'll never be as cool as your dad on a Trans Am with those with the little shorty shorts that they wear and the roller skates on and that mesh tank top.
The hang tan corduroy shorty shorts.
Yeah, because you were hot stuff back then, man.
People will, would never get that Sally Fields was so hot or Deborah Winger with a wife beater and no bra on Urban Cowboy was these knees, man. It's like, holy shit.
They don't
y'all
get
don't even
want
to know about Travolta trilogy. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Grease, Saturday Night Fever, and Urban Cowboy.
My assistant, shit. as I think I said, went to Southeast Asia for his a senior trip, as he likes to put it. And yeah, you know, you see this some skinny ass kid. There's a Bob Hope special where he's out there talking to the troops, and he's in the tree in the back, and Bob actually talks to you. Why are these guys up here in the tree? That's my friend, my assistant, Brandon Stewart, who's not with me here. Up there in the tree, the bunch of guys, and they were the last ones to get their job done, whatever they were doing, so they got there late. And so they climbed up the street so they can see Bob Hope. And, you know, that skinny little white boy, he is white, let me tell you. He's a Scotsman, so trust me, he's white.
Nice.
And, you know, out there in the jungle with a 50 cal, and they'll tell you, there's a tough, cool guy there. You think you're tough because, you know, you won the baking competition at your high school. No. The baking combination here killed you. So,
shit.
Lots of fun stuff.
Oh,
very, very different worlds. So.
I know.
But
I
it's cool.
Being the old guy, get off my lawn, shit, man. I really try not to be that dude, you know.
But it happens. I went and saw Up with a friend of mine on a matinee. We were the only two adults in the entire theater, and they get to the scene where you know, the kid's hanging on the front porch in the air. Can I come in? No. Shuts the door. I laughed and laughed, and all the kids are like, okay, we know who the grumpy old man in the room is, but that's what happens, you know?
Yeah.
You don't realize this.
You get old, you get scared. It's the weirdest shit, and ain't nothing changed but your perspective.
That's, and they have a sword fight with the cane and the walker. The one guy throws his back out. Trust me, this week I totally feel that.
Yeah.
I'm right there with these people. But we're the ones that can get away with it. We understand the gross humor,
yeah,
or what people call gross humor now. We just thought it was big.
Yeah. Well, and to be, you know, I'll be 53 soon, and just when the look on a woman's eye when I'm like, baby, I've got to stand up on the edge of the bed for us to do any cool shit. You know, that really that makes them go, I'm really with an old ass arthritic bum hip dude.
Yeah.
I'm just like, yeah, but it's really cool shit.
Think of the stuff
you,
I had
really,
to do to
if
get
you
that
roll
hip.
With it,
if
you know?
Go with it.
Yeah.
Think of the things I had to do to get this hip, lady.
You know how many big girls I lost tread off of that hip in the 90s with? Good Lord. How many Zimas it took to get to that point,
Zimas.
You know?
Oh, yes. I worked at Renaissance Fair for too many years. Trust me, there's a lot of plus. I had a friend of mine said, you know, we argued who dated the most. And he said, I you only win by square tonnage. Which is kind of true, but I can roll with that. So
I can roll
I know a lot of
that,
lovely,
right?
Lovely people. And speaking of lovely people, we have some more people coming in here.
Yeah.
So I think it's the time here. Before you go, we need to know, where can we find you? Social media and all that.
Facebook.com/ Bloody Frickin' Mary. That's FRICKIN, frickin'. You can go to YouTube and Google to rent or buy, download the movie. It should
be
on Tubi and Prime any day now, hopefully. So, I hope y'all dig it as much as we did making the thing. So it's a good time, and shit, that's all we can hope for,
yeah,
is you like it, and we're just gonna mess around and go do another movie and all again. It's just an addiction. So
it sounds fun. And where can we find you?
We
need,
well,
special effects.
I'm on Facebook, Cynthia Roy, Cynthia then S Y N T H I A. And that's pretty much the best way to find me. You'll either see me on there posting pictures of me doing my tattoos at my tattoo shop, or doing special effects on a film. That's pretty much all I ever post.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you so much for both being here on the Grim and Bloody podcast. It's been a hoot. They'll probably burn this one when I send it in.
Right.
The guy. He's like, I can't believe you guys talked about that.
That's where y'all drank it.
Yeah. not nearly enough, because it's like $40 for the little bottle of margarita up there at the restaurant. I mean, geez.
Right?
It's cheaper to go into the bar.
He had this one 6% alcoholic, like, one monster drink here.
It works.
It's the only alcoholic beverage he's had today, so...
I've got the shakes. When I start talking like normal speed, like everyone else, instead of all hillbilly, you know I'm on some of that Red Bull bullshit.
Slow you down a little bit there.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you once again for showing up.
Thank
and we're
you.
Back to the studio.